This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, final hour of the show. Two in the books and one to go. Wow, it's flown by on a hump day. Nick and myself on the Press Box. Appreciate you being with us as well as we continue to roll. You boxers are fantastic. Speaking of boxing, we just gave away a couple of tickets to the fight Saturday night. We got two more to give away later in the show before between now and 4 o'clock. So stay tuned for that as we just are the gift that keeps on giving. And today we're giving till it hurts. also, shout out to Casa do Brasil.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Bringing in some great food. And evidently some great drinks, too, as you're telling me.
Yeah, they're kind of strong. I mean, I'm going to make it. Don't
you sure?
Don't worry.
You going to start doing your Harry Carey impersonations by 3:30?
Who was that? Harry Carey wasn't the one that I could kiss you. Who was that? That was Joe Namath, right?
Joe Namath wanted to kiss Susie Colbert.
I could kiss you. That was Joe Namath. That wasn't Harry Carey.
As broadcasting lore goes, as you go through your TV crews when we used to travel to all the different cities, and especially when Cubs stories came to be prevalent with Harry Carey. Harry was known to drink during games. A lot of times late in his career, they said by the seventh inning stretch, he was already gone. And, of course, he already had a broadcasting delivery that was a little bit slurred up. So it used to be that he would start doing things like saying names backwards. So you get to the fifth or sixth
inning. Like he would say the last name before the first name is what you're saying?
No. So, for example, Sean Dunstan was the Cubs shortstop. And he would go, "Here's a fly ball. Dunstan gets underneath it. It's Dunstan backwards. It's cheap and skull." Then he catches it for the third out. Or, he would forget stats. He didn't care about them. So Andy Van Slyke would come up from the Pirates, and he'd go, and Van Slyke's 3-for-4 with 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. "Here's Andy Van Slyke, a good-looking guy." That's it. He wouldn't do it. And so the story that everybody tells about Harry Carey was, the Cubs back in the day on the Superstation, everybody saw the games, but they were day games because there was no lights at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
So there's a day game. There's a couple in the bleachers in the outfield. And every so often when they go to break or when they come back from break, they show the couple. And as the game's going on, the couple's getting cuddly and they're, kissing a few times and they're snuggling it up. Well, of course, Harry had his share of pops. And he finally goes, "You know what, Steve? I finally figured it out." And they show the couple. And he goes, "He kisses her on the strikes and she kisses him on the balls." And the minute that he said it, everything went silent. Everybody hit their cough button. The truck lost their mind. Steve Stone, who was doing the color commentary, was like, I just can't.
I'm not touching
and he goes,
this.
"Hey, where'd everybody go?" And he had no idea. Everyone was crying. They were laughing so hard. And he had no idea what he said.
How did they react to Joe when he, in that interview with Susan, were people cringing at that? I love the way he spoke when he... that would not fly in today's age, obviously.
But that wasn't that long ago.
That was years ago. What are you talking about?
The Susie Colbert, Joe Namath thing, he was on the sideline. They were honoring him at a Jets game or something, but he was really... But that wasn't that... That was in the last, I want to say...
More than 10 years ago,
no,
for sure.
No.
I would say in the early 2000s.
Look, I'm going to Google it. I guarantee it was...
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
It was awful.
Struggling.
Yeah. I think that wasn't within 10 years.
It might be. I thought it was in the early 2000s.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
I'll look it up too.
Yeah, but definitely.
What's your favorite drunk quote though?
I don't know.
So this is published in 2007. So we know it's at least 13 years old.
Right.
This YouTube video has it published in 2007.
Of Namath?
Yeah, so it's at least 13.
Okay, 13. All right.
At least.
Todd, the show says 2003.
Oh, see, early 2000s. I was right. I'm the smartest man alive. That,
but you don't have to, just because someone twitches it doesn't mean it's true.
It's fact.
No, it's not.
When they agree with me, it's fact.
Did you?
I am the smartest man alive.
Did you just put in Joe Namath, Susie Colbert?
Yeah, I put Joe Namath struggling interview is what I put.
I just put Joe Namath, Susie Colbert.
I mean, there's one published video of it back in July 3, 2007. So it had to be at least before then.
Okay. So, yeah, because a lot of them say 2020, 2018, which is obviously
possible. There's no way. That's wrong. Said,
so it happened during the Jets game, right here. It happened during the Jets game against the New England Patriots, December the 20th, 2003.
Early 2000s. I mean,
you were right. Namath was, I don't want to say that often, but you're right. Namath was being interviewed by ESPN reporter Susie Colbert, and he clearly, drunken, leaned over and told her he wanted to kiss her.
Did you see Kanye West's new girlfriend? I've
heard about her.
I called her a new piece, and Charlie was like, no, it's a girlfriend. He didn't like the fact that I used the word piece.
Lighten up, Francis. Really?
Not on my show. We're not calling her a piece on my show.
No. What's her ERA?
Arena Shake or Shaq? Apparently, she initially was with Cristiano Ronaldo, and then it was someone else. It was Bradley Cooper, the actor.
Jeez.
So she went from Ronaldo, Bradley Cooper, to Kanye West.
Well, good for Kanye, because normally those two guys don't exactly they're fighting off the good ones.
Yeah, and Kanye says she's a perfect fit.
Well. Okay, Pedro. Not touching that one, but whatever.
What? I'm just saying what he said.
And I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up, says Pedro Martinez.
I would have picked different words, and I definitely believe that his coworkers never will let him forget that quote.
But I feel like you have to be on watch all the time if you're someone covering baseball by the way you comment on the sport. Because it's like, no matter what, it's inevitable you're going to say something that's going to be like, you know, someone's going to act like a 12-year-old and be like, oh, so he catches balls well, huh? You know what I mean? Like, it's inevitable. Like, how do you cover baseball without, I mean, it's inevitable that you're going to make. Now, him, in his case, it's funnier because it was just too obvious, I feel like. The way he said it was too obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, and again, it's kind of like we were talking about with Charles yesterday. During this time of cancel culture and everybody hypersensitive and, on alert for everything.
That's why he just wants to work till you told me this, till he's 60.
Yesterday, we talked about yesterday that he wants to work till he's 60 and then he's done. But as I also told you, he told us numerous times throughout the years that he was going to walk away after 5 years and then 7 years. And then, you know, it was like, yeah, okay, pull this leg and it whistles Dixie because there's no way – we believe anything that you're going to say. And why would you leave when the show is doing as well as it's doing, he's making?
Yeah. No one's tuning in for Shaq. I'm sorry. I mean, they are, but they're not. You know what I mean?
You know, Ernie. They get their banter moments.
They do. No, they're together as the team. Like, I think Shaq could be gone and the show wouldn't miss a beat. Honestly. Honest to God. I think it could be Kenny Smith.
Well, because it didn't before he got there, right?
Right.
It didn't matter. It was just the three of them, and it was still fantastic.
I don't even think you need Chris Webber. I'm just saying Ernie, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley.
After this last year, no one needs Chris Webber. He slipped up and fell so far off the planet in terms of...
Not as bad as Paul Pierce, though.
Well, they both have had better years. Let's put it that way.
For sure.
They both have had better years.
Paul Pierce talking about he don't need ESPN. I'm like, maybe you got that money and everything, but that was a good gig for you, homie. I mean, that wasn't a bad gig.
It was not. And like, now it's gone because of you and your poker playing setup strip club.
Yeah, like strippers.
Yeah.
Was it strip poker were they playing? Or was it just at a casino or a house?
I thought it was kind of like their own makeshift poker with amenities brought in, but I could be wrong. I teased this before, so let's get this before the break. The Dallas Mavericks have parted ways with longtime president of basketball operations and general manager Donnie Nelson. Don's son Donnie had been there for 24 years and had been the longtime right-hand man of Mark Cuban, but evidently... in recent years, the Mavericks hired a director of quantitative research and development, and I'm going to hack this name up, but His name is Haralobos Vulgaris. And it's crazy. He's a former professional gambler that the Mavericks hired in 2018. But he reports directly to Cuban and communicates directly with Rick Carlisle without checking with Nelson. And it got to the point where Nelson had problems with it, and he brought it to their attention, and it ended up being the reason, at least in part, why he's now leaving.
So he didn't like being circumvented by this gentleman going to Cuban.
Direct communication with the coach and the owner when he's been there for 24 years and has been responsible for some great moves throughout the history of the franchise. Need I remind you that he and his daddy, and I believe he did more than his daddy, in trading the rights to Robert Tractor Trailer, RIP, for one Dirk Nowitzki from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, you know, this guy was, by Yahoo Sports, voted the third best general manager of the decade.
He's
because,
good.
Because he had like nine seasons where he had at least 50 or 55 wins, something like that.
He gave up Trae Young to get Luka Doncic. Trae Young's turned out to be pretty good, too.
Still, but that's a win, though. That's a massive win.
I completely agree.
As good as Trae is.
And I think he got an extra first-round pick in that deal. So, again, yeah, I mean, Donnie Nelson's top of his craft. So, if you're Mark Cuban, don't outsmart yourself. It's kind of like what Cuban said when he was – it's ironic. What he said after the season when they got bumped out by the Clippers was, everybody asked, will Rick Carlisle be back? And he said, you got to be careful what you wish for, because a lot of teams go out and they want to make coaching changes. Then they realize the guy they had before that they decided to fire because of a quick snap decision was a guy that is doing it better than whoever you could bring in. And we're not doing that. And Rick's staying. Well, you couldn't say that for Don Nelson, too, because Donnie's done a hell of a job.
I first thought, I was like, maybe he went to go smoke that, you know what, with his dad. Because apparently his dad is all about the green.
His dad was, I think it was with the Hall of Fame. They did a press conference. And they said, well, how's life now? And he said,
he just
admitted,
yeah.
I'm loving life, living in Hawaii, and basically smoking that ganja every day.
Huh? He's in his 80s, and he's just smoking. He's just chilling. With that. Look, hey, you earned it, buddy. You do you. If you want to be retired and do that and smoke it legally, you do you.
He was
you
a folk hero in Milwaukee. He was a folk hero in Milwaukee.
He was?
Because before he went to the Mavericks, he resurrected the Bucks franchise, and then he did, it's probably too young. You're too young to remember this. But he did two things, too, aside from getting the Bucks to win again. He got fish ties. So every night, because the NBA made you wear ties for the longest time, he only wore ties that looked like different species of fish. And they became the hottest thing for Father's Day and every dad in Milwaukee and around. And it started getting worse. And then, now that it's a hip and current thing to do, but back in the day, all coaches wore dress shoes. He got an endorsement deal from Converse and was wearing tennis shoes. And the league says, no, you can't do that. He already got the deal. So to bring more attention, he wore them anyway and put athletic tape over the Converse logo. And he'd come out with a fish tie and Converse tennis shoes with tape over the logos. And he was...
Are you telling me Don Nelson, he's the one who started the suit on tennis shoes look?
Well before his time. Yeah, I mean, most guys were going...
I mean, people don't know. I mean, that look...
He was kind of a frumpy dresser anyway, so
he looked like
if you're
a hippie
gonna
wear, from day one.
If you're going to wear a fish tie and tennis shoes with your suit, no one's going to say that that's the main reason why they're picking on your outfit.
Yeah, that sounds like something Phil Jackson would do as well.
He's kind of out there, but man...
He's kind of a hippie too, isn't he?
He's a hippie, but he kind of...
I guess Don Nelson is not a hippie. Yeah.
Yeah. So after 24 years, Donnie is out.
Well... I'm pretty sure he can get a gig elsewhere. Him or Daryl Morey, who's the better general manager in your opinion?
I think over the history.
Just because he has more time. I think
acquiring
you have to pick
two guys like he did, I got
to
say Donnie Nelson. Because you got Luka and you got Dirk.
You got Luka, Dirk, and you've been doing it longer. You've had 9 seasons above 50 wins, maybe even 10 seasons above 50
title
wins.
Title, too. That kind of matters.
Yeah.
Daryl.
Against LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Against the Mavs.
So, all right, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about New Brakes. It's NUBrakes.com. New Brakes. I just got my brakes done here at the office while we were doing the show in our parking garage because that's what they do. They do brakes by coming to you and then do what they do. They're just trained tech. They are all they do. They're specialists trained only to do brakes. They're not going to upsell you, try and fix something else, tell you something's wrong with your car. They're going to just do your brakes. Their prices are competitive with any brake shop in town. They use the best products, and they get great results. And they do it while you can multitask and do other things. Time is money, folks. So the fact that you're actually saving money when you think about it because you're creating more time for yourself to do other things. If they come to your house, they'll be in your garage or in your driveway while you're cutting the lawn or watching a game, drinking a beer. and they're taking care of business, so your car's getting fixed at the same time. No more bad waiting rooms with horrible televisions, vending machine food, and cold coffee. You are getting it done while you're doing other things. Like I said, they did it while we were doing a show. They can do it for you, too. Aggie Matt had him come to his work, and they did it in his parking garage while he was at his desk doing his stuff. So they're great things. It's like being able to get your groceries delivered to you instead of having to spend an hour in the grocery store. Why would you do it anywhere else and any way else? You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You save 10% right off the top. But just go to NUBrakes.com. NUBrakes.com. They're going to take great care of you, and they're going to do fantastic work. Check them out today. It's NUBrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Shout out 713 texted us. I use new brakes on Monday. So easy and straightforward, and they're back to, I'll just say, driving on the Beltway. But we appreciate the people at New Brakes. They do fantastic work. I had my brake pads fixed and replaced while we were here on the show a couple Wednesdays
ago. Yeah, they did it during the show. Like, you literally started the show, and then when you came out, the car was already fixed.
Yep. It was absolutely painless, and they did fantastic work. So
they tweeted out the lineup for the Astros.
Any changes? Since they won, are they going to sit good players again, or are we going to be back to business?
No, I don't think there's anybody that
really...
What about
Kyle Tucker, Nick? Is Kyle Tucker back? Because they said he should have been available last night, but he might have been too dinged up because he hadn't been swinging a bat on the sideline.
He's not. He's not in this lineup. Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Gurriel, Correa, McCormick, Straw, Maldonado.
So McCormick's in right again.
Correct.
All right. All behind Zach Greinke.
Yes, indeed. So
take on one-time Astros prospect, Jordan Lyles, whose ERA isn't quite what they faced last night. Is it Kyle Gibson?
He's been doing good, but not just against
the Astros.
He's got the Astros
number this year, though.
But he's been doing good in general.
No, he's 4-0 on the season. Should have been 5-0 until the last pitch of the ninth last night. But, just holding that Astros lineup with all we've continued to just gush over how productive they've been offensively. I mean, four runs over three starts. And how many innings did he go last night? Seven?
I believe so, yes.
So 20 innings and three starts. He's given up four runs in 20 innings. It's pretty damn good.
What are they going to do about Alex Bregman? We always talk about how good they are offensively, but Alex Bregman really hasn't been a big part of that success for at least 2 weeks, I want to say.
But
maybe
you know what's
even
funny?
Three.
And Dr. Dre and I were going back and forth on this a little bit. Yeah, he's not what he normally is, but he's also a 280-plus hitter, which a lot of teams would love to have hitting at third base. The bigger issue I got is he had two defensive faux pas last night.
Yeah.
And the one could have cost him an extra innings when it looked like Presley was going to get out without giving up even a run with the guy starting on second base, which was phenomenal. And instead, they got a run, and I was worried. And then earlier in the game that he had a bad throw that took Yuli off the bag that didn't cost him at the time, but you're like, that's not normally who Bregman is.
No. And the worst thing about when you have someone struggling offensively with his bat, I feel like it brings more of a spotlight to his lack of production on offense when he struggles on defense. And Tatis was kind of a victim of this too, when he kind of struggled a little bit, but then he was like an error king. That's what they put a spotlight on his lack of performance. Obviously, Tatis Jr. has absolutely shattered that since then. But for a while, when he was struggling for a few games, and he was making all those errors on defense, it just puts a bigger spotlight on it. Now, with Alex Bregman's case, the rest of the team is doing so well. I guess it covers it up a little bit. And look, it's not necessarily unordinary for a player to have a... You know what? I think it's been a month he hasn't been doing well, to be honest with you. I think I can go back as far as a month in terms of his consistency. It hasn't been the same.
Did you watch the Fox broadcast on Saturday?
I didn't.
It was Eric Karros. And Eric Karros was driving me nuts, like over the top, just completely dramatic about how much more goes into being a baseball player mentally than any other sport and all these other things. But the one thing that I will agree with him on is because it's like It's like they say, golf or tennis, it's you against the world. So the mental aspect is massive, and sometimes it's really a grind. I think that it's the most individualistic team sport there is, from the standpoint of you can execute a good football play even though, as long as you each do your job. But even if you don't, there's still a chance it'll work. Same thing with basketball.
Sure.
In baseball, to what you were just getting at, when your wheels start grinding, when you're struggling at the plate and you know you can't catch a break and it starts wearing on you, now it's consuming you. And now if you're playing in the field too, like Bregman, now I'm not even worried about fielding balls and throwing guys out. I'm worried about, how do I get that next knock? How do I get that hit? What am I doing wrong? What do I got to do next? And the grind can be all-consuming. And that's where I agreed with him when he was doing the Fox broadcast Saturday night, was that, to that regard, I totally agree. When a guy's got it going well, he's on easy street. But when it starts going bad, boy, it can steamroll in a hurry, because yeah, the pressure's massive. And every single time you're on center stage and you don't get it done, it just gets worse.
Yeah. I think the good thing is Alex Bregman is experienced enough and good enough to get past it. But I feel like it's approaching a month in terms of lack of consistency. And again, when you're doing well on offense, to your point, I feel like it relieves some of the pressure on defense, especially in the event you're not necessarily known to be a bad defender, just an average defender or above average defender. You're known to be that guy.
Yeah, you're known to be a good defender.
So,
and you look at it and you say, he even got a couple of tough breaks last night. I know one time in particular, he hit a shot that should have been a base hit and he got robbed. And they say that too. You know, when you're fielding bad, the ball's going to find you. Like if you put in a guy that's not supposed to be out there, like Yordan in the outfield. Most times, the baseball gods, when you put Yordan in late in a game and someone gets hurt and you got to put him in a game, someone's hitting the ball right at Yordan that he's going to have to field.
Yeah.
It's just the way baseball works. And when you're struggling and scuffling at the plate, a lot of times you can hit it right on the screws and it turns out you're hitting it at somebody. So hopefully he snaps out of it. Right, by the way, bottom of the third inning, Angels now leading the A's 4-0. So
that team can't lose, by the way. The A's have not been able to lose in a minute.
They've been hot.
Like, what's going on with the A's?
As good as the Astros have been, the A's have been better, because in the loss column, the A's have played more games. They still have a one-game lead on Houston, and that's with Houston playing really good baseball against really good teams. So that's why it's imperative during this stretch of playing less than stellar teams besides the White Sox, they got to take advantage. We keep harping on that, and so hopefully that continues tonight at Minute Maid Park as Greenkey
takes exercised the contract option for 2022 for their manager, Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
I don't know how much credit that guy gets for all that, but Billy Beane was like all about it. Like,
well, yeah, because of the fact that it takes a special kind of manager to be okay with the money ball and the fact that they constantly are cutting corners salary-wise and they're never going to go out and spend big dollars on free agents. So, yeah, he's done a good job. He deserves that.
I know people think I'm crazy for saying this.
What?
But that is one of my favorite baseball movies ever.
Moneyball? It was good.
I mean, there's obviously movies in the 80s that you could probably reference that can compete. But in terms of, like, the modern era, like, I felt like they did really, really good with that movie.
Don't bring it up to Art Howe, because he didn't like how he was portrayed.
Well, he wasn't. But he was kind of portrayed as this dick, and he really wasn't that big of a dick, apparently.
Because he was the old school guy that didn't agree with the whole analytics.
Yeah.
But, hey, it was a good movie. Major League, up there. Bull Durham, good one.
Yeah. That's probably one movie that I would say is better than Moneyball.
The original Major League was good. It was funny.
Agreed.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. Half hour to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Saturday night. Want to remind you one more time. It's the big fight. Houston hometown hero, undefeated WBC middleweight world champion Jermall Charlo, taking on hard-hitting Juan Macias Montiel live from the Toyota Center. You can have your chance to win. We're going to do it one more time before we get out of here. One more time to win two tickets. Caller number 10 right now, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Don't, all you people complaining you were caller 2, caller 8, whatever. You know what? We're giving you one more chance to win. Caller 10. Don't say we didn't try and take care of you. You got a chance to get two tickets to the
fight. We've been giving away things left and right today.
A lot today. You don't win. Catch all the action live and in person. Get your tickets now, toyotacenter.com or axs.com.
Access.com. AXS. Why do they spell it with just three letters if it's pronounced Access TV? Access.com.
Kind of like DAZN.
Correct.
Which is DAZN.
Yeah. I don't know why they do that, but apparently there's a trend on misspelling things on purpose now. I don't know why.
It's like our catchy.
Boy, like our boy Alex, he spells his name on the promotion team. He spells his name with a Y.
Yeah, that's always been an issue for you.
It's why though?
Well, I heard AJ say the other night too, he doesn't like that Klay Thompson's dad, Michael, who people may not realize was the number one overall pick in the NBA draft way back when, spells Michael with a Y. M-Y.
Yeah, I had a classmate at the University of Houston, and for whatever reason, the teacher would see that M-Y-C-H-A-L and say my chal, or, you know, they wouldn't say Michael. And I said, a part of the problem, homie, is because the way you spelt it.
Jamichael Green uses a Y.
So I literally corrected the teacher and the classmates, and I said, look, by the way, just for the record, he's not going to tell you because he's too nice. He doesn't like to be called my chal or my cal. He wants to be called Michael. And then he went up to me and he was like, thank you so much, Nick, for correcting them. Well, I'm like, bro, it's no problem, but you spelt your name weird. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I feel you. Fred and AJ also had a problem with the fact that Klay Thompson spells it Klay with a K.
Yeah, agreed. I would spell it with a C.
But, you know, that's kind of like you're different, but you're not as parents. You pick like a traditional name, but then just so that you show you're still kind of hip and cool, you mix it up by spelling it.
My parents did the same thing with my sister. My sister's name is Heidi. They spell it H-A-Y-D-Y. Every time she got called out in class, they said Heidi. Yeah. It's dumb. It got to the point where on resumes, she purposely misspelled her name so they would stop calling her Heidi. It's Heidi. But my parents had to be all bougie and different and unique and misspell the name.
Pronunciation and spelling are key. I told you about the twin boys that I found on the internet that were pronounced Lamangelo and Orangelo.
Yeah.
But when they're spelled, it's Orange Jello and Lemon Jello.
Yeah. I feel like Jermell and Jamal is easier to confuse, too. We've talked about this.
Sure. Absolutely.
The Charlo brothers.
All right. Since Rezzy asked and since we talked about it yesterday, we might as well give you an update because we both did our research. If you missed it, yesterday, the bench finally got on. The bench brings up so many topics the day after. You know, we're so on top of things here at the press box. That's why you guys listen. The Ivory Hecker story got a little bit more interesting.
It did.
If you missed it, the Fox 26 reporter is calling out Fox National in the way that they are stifling their reporters and dictating how they report their stories and what they can and cannot say and tweet. So she finally did what she said she was going to do, and she went to the independent site, and there's about 17 and a half minutes of an interview done with her in which she puts it out there. One thing to say that she put out her bosses on Zoom conference calls and things like that in their quotes. It's another thing to say, obviously at some bar, they got two women that work in the sales department and or the commercials department, and boy, I'm sure they're not going to be. I'm sure people are looking at them a little bit today, and I'm sure they're not happy with old Ivory Hecker.
Now, I brought this question to you before the show, so I'll bring it up on the air.
By the way, she's been suspended by Fox 26.
Yes. Doesn't necessarily mean she'll be fired, but as of now, she's suspended. Do you think the people at the local station is in trouble? Do you think the national Fox people are in trouble? Do you think it's a combination of the both, of both of them? I just feel like, even if you're right, her days have to be numbered with Fox 26, the local station, considering
her days are numbered. I don't think, now here's what I think. I think corporate proper isn't going to have a problem with the general manager, the news director, or the assistant news director because they're doing what corporate wants. They have an option. You and I were talking about this, as you mentioned. They have an option. They can either, with integrity, side with the reporter and say, yeah, this isn't right. It's a soundbite we got, from true doctors and people in the medical profession that are saying this about, what is it, hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
So basically, it's legit. And this is what the people want to hear. So you can't be stifled and told you can't say that. Or you can say, you do what corporate says because they signed the checks. Therefore, you do it. The news director went out and said, you failed as a reporter. And again, in news and in all live television, there's this longstanding, and this is where it's going to change to a lot, and maybe this has something to do with it as well, but incidents like this will only bring more light to it. Forever and a day, and I found this out when I got to the Rockets before I really got experience with live television, there used to be the unwritten rule. If I cuss at you or if I call you a name and say anything during a live broadcast or live television, don't take it personal. It's all part of the stress that goes on with doing live TV. And I heard men and women calling people names and cussing and doing all these things for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's not going to fly.
No, that's not going to fly at all because there's too many whistleblowers out there. She's considered a whistleblower right now. And I looked her up. You're right, in her singing career. She has like a separate Instagram account for like her singing career.
Okay.
But I don't think this is what this is about. And
what's the end game in your mind? What's her end game in your mind?
I think it's a combination of, yeah, maybe she does genuinely care about the viewers. But yeah, it does good for her career. I don't know if other traditional TV platforms want to hire her, though. If she's going to record her bosses on the low, I'm not sure if other local TV stations are going to hire her. So it does make me wonder when I say, man, she's trying to further along her career. Well, how? Because honestly, so yesterday we talked about her, right? I looked her up. She had 41,000 followers on Twitter. By the time I got home last night at around 10, she had close to like 48 or 49. I don't know how many followers she has right now, but it did increase by the thousands. Now, does that necessarily translate into money? There's a big misconception in that regard. Like people think every Instagram girl that looks hot on Instagram is making money. That's not necessarily the case. But it does further your following. When you have a following, you could potentially translate that into monetary success. I just don't see how you can pinpoint it in this particular case.
So, and as we further the discussion from yesterday, and we talked about this, Rowan Farrow is a guy that was working for NBC, and he was hardly known. He was Mia Farrow, who used to be an actress, I believe's child. A lot of people, the rumor was that Frank Sinatra might have been his dad, whatever. But no one really knew who he was. And all of a sudden, he came out with some of these same kind of scandalous, controversial stories, including on Matt Lauer. Remember all that ended up getting Matt Lauer fired? Remember with all of his ways of doing things with his office and everything?
For sure.
And he wrote a couple books because of it that made, you know, New York Times bestseller list and made a ton of money. And he went and did the interview circuit. And more people then knew who Rowan Farrow was. So whether it's her singing career or not, and she says, to be fair, that she did all of this for the integrity of broadcasters and reporters and media types. That
she said specifically for viewers because they're being lied to. That's right. what she said in that interview.
She's doing it for the viewers, but also for the fact that this is not an isolated case. She believes across news, reporters are faced with this kind of dilemma every day. And I think a lot of them could be. I think that it's a little fishy that she has an album or a singing career she's trying to get going.
My whole deal is her career. She's a little bit older to really kick off a career. I mean, that's not to say that it's impossible.
I don't think, how old do you think she is?
She's probably in her late 20s.
Okay, that's not that old.
To kick off, to be a pop star or a singing career, like a massive pop, I don't think so.
Susan Boyle killed it off of, no, just kidding. But, I mean, Susan Boyle is, what, 65? No, but I mean, I think at any time it could happen. But I think in just trying to figure out what the end game is it that you're trying to get discovered by ABC, NBC, CBS, National, Good Morning America, Today Show, CBS This Morning, or some of these 2020s and Dateline NBCs that you want to be, you think this will open a door, people will pay attention, you know, honor your courageous reporting and say, we want this person, and now people will remember her because she did this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. But the other thing I noticed when I saw her being interviewed in that particular interview, like, the guy was asking the questions as if he didn't go through that in his career. Like, that guy that was interviewing her,
he was pretty fluffy.
I mean, he had to have been in a position where he was muzzled. There's no way. I don't believe it for a second.
Unless he was coddled throughout his career, and now he's got this job with this random YouTube site.
He looks like a TV guy. He looks like a guy that's been in TV for a minute. Okay. And if you've been in TV, a lot of the things that she can, that she's talking about probably can be verified. A lot of people that get into the TV industry look past that because they want the job. Oh. That's the brutal truth of it.
And it's a cutthroat, it's hard to get into business.
It's a freak. It's the brutal truth. So a lot of times they will look over a lot of things and they will play the game. And there is a left and a right side and all that other stuff, dude. That's, but when he was asking the question, he's like, why? Why would you do something like that?
By the way, Pedro Martinez said there is a left and a right. He can verify that. Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting how it goes from here. I know the one thing that is for sure is she can't go back to Fox 26.
She can't go back to Fox 26, but there's a big possibility she can. And apparently she got fired. It's official that she's gotten fired, apparently.
Well, she was suspended. If they actually fired her, now she's got a case because of the fact that she, from an HR perspective, she should be protected from being fired if they're saying this is the cause because she went public. She now has proof of the fact that if you're going to fire, and I get it, Texas is an at-will state, but if you're going to go and say, because you blew the whistle on what you thought was bad behavior by your employer, and because of it, you lose your job, she probably has a legal case.
Well, according to Syracuse.com, she has been fired. She doesn't make mention of it on her Twitter, at least from what I see right now. But according to Syracuse.com, she was fired, not suspended. Now, that's the only story that I see. But look, and now 54,000 followers, by the way. Yesterday, we were talking about her about the same time as we are right now, and she had 41,000 followers. So she's at least gained 10 to 15,000 followers just over the past 24 to 48 hours. I did. No, but to be honest with you, man, she doesn't seem like she's like insane, and she's just trying, like, she doesn't come off as a girl that's trying to get attention. Now, if you look at her Instagram and you want to go down the route of that, I don't feel like what she's doing is super provocative or trying to get like she's thirsty or anything like that. And I feel like she's well-spoken. I feel like she's educated. She's smart. She might have a case. But it is a dangerous approach to take in this day and age. And a lot of the people that are interviewing her and calling her brave and stuff like that, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't. They would play the game in most cases. Like the whole discussion she had with the editor talking about how African-Americans don't care about Bitcoin at 5 o'clock.
Right.
I mean, obviously, when that conversation becomes public, people are going to feel some type of way of it. But don't act like the guy who's interviewing her has never been talked like.
Can I ask you a question on that specific point that I thought about when watching that? Because it involves people that we know. When that came out, if you're Isaiah Carey, if you're our good friend Nate Griffin, if you're other people that work at Fox 26, that should tick you off too.
I would. That's a good question. I didn't even think about it until you brought it up.
I would have a problem with that. If I still work there in good standing and I heard that and then I heard it directly from their mouths.
Come on, you think Nate Griffin's going to say anything publicly against?
I do. I think Nate's the kind
publicly?
Of guy.
Publicly?
No, privately to them.
Yeah. She's going Nate. Public. That's the difference.
True. But I'm just saying, if you still work there, my question is, if you're still working there and you hear this and then you hear it straight from
I'd
them,
be aggravated
you got to have a problem with
it. He might be aggravated. Yeah, I could see that for sure.
All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We'll wrap it up next, and the Blitz will take you from 4 to 7 right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back, final segment of the show. Good show today. Rolling through with lots of of good stuff as we got into the other side of Major League Baseball's dilemma in the fact that we are now looking at the cheating scandal by sign stealing getting messy again because we mentioned that there was a blue check mark baseball writer that is coming out. Nick, what's his name again?
Spader?
Yeah, Ryan Spader.
Ryan Spader. You can follow him on Twitter.
Multiple players. He's got proof, he says. He's got sources. Called out all the teams. They were all doing what the Astros were doing, as elaborate, minus the garbage cans, otherwise. And it included but not limited to, but most important to Astros fans, Yankees, Dodgers.
So he had a long-ass thread. The one that stuck out to me is where the Astros sign-stealing scandal originated from. And he said what? Beltran, New York, and Texas?
Yep, because that's, yeah. Beltran spent a lot of time in those places, so therefore, I guess evidently, wherever he went, he developed the system and the culture. And then the other intriguing thing was when it involves the Dodgers, that a Dodgers employee put on an MLB polo shirt and acted like he was setting up cameras for some kind of internet broadcast or otherwise, when in truth he was doing exactly what the Astros were doing. So it's definitely going to get dicey if this continues. It'll be interesting how Major League Baseball now decides to handle it. They wanted to sweep everything under the rug and just have the one team be the scapegoat in terms of the sign stealing. Now it looks like it might be inescapable, and they'll have to call out everyone. From a sticky substance pitchers cheating perspective, it gets more dicey by the day, because in that regard, they want all names. They want everyone's name on the blotter. It doesn't matter what team and how much you make. They're calling it out. They're enforcing the rules. But you got that Charles Barkley audio. It was funny because even Barkley, concentrating on basketball, noticed what baseball was doing. And as Nick and I were trying to figure out, is it 10 days or 10 games? Charles called them out even greater.
I just want to give a shout out to Major League Baseball. I saw y'all new thing where if y'all catch pitchers cheating, you're going to suspend them from 10 days with pay. Way to stick it to those cheaters. And they get a private jet, right? Ooh, I mean, that is some harsh damn punishment.
What is 10 days?
They go suspend it 10 days with pay.
That's what we were talking about yesterday when I said, like, repeat offenders. It better be ratcheted up with a bigger fine, a larger suspension, and it better hit them in a hard place like their pocketbook.
I mean, there's no bigger fine than you taking away their game checks. That's a big fine right there.
They're not doing that. They're not doing that. And Charles went on to say, and other people were talking about it. So, I mean, if you play for a bad team and you're going nowhere and you're not worried about your reputation at all, you dabble in some sticky stuff, you get a 10-day vacation. So what's the
repercussion here? What's the consequence in this? And honestly, the pitchers in Major League Baseball are way, way more transparent and willing to admit that they use stuff as opposed to batters talking about sign stealing. I mean, look how Glasnow spoke. He didn't even care that he admitted anything.
I 100% believe that contributed to me getting hurt. No doubt, without a doubt. I think, like, it's ridiculous. Like, I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that, like, it seems like this whole public perception of, like, oh, it's just like select few people. Like, your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like, if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like, you have to use something. So in the past, my substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like, just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty.
You don't want to feel dusty balls.
That's the last thing you want to feel. I'm going to stop. I don't want to be a child.
The most important takeaway is what he said, which was if you feel inconsistency in your balls, it's a problem.
It is a problem. You need more grip. You need to handle them better.
So maybe you should be going spider tack and other things to get the consistency in your balls.
He's going as far as blaming the lack of substance on his balls causing injury.
Two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. And before that start, I remember when all this stuff came out, I was talking to people and talking to doctors, and they were like, the thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is, like, what is the injury, like, what is the prevention of, like, maybe it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. That sounds like an excuse a player would use to make sure he can use sticky stuff. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in.
Oh, those tricky crevices that can still ache in pain. Look, he's got big hands. He wanted that out there. I just, as I said to you too, when I was listening to all this, the bigger thing is now if you're the owners too, these guys that have just recently, Garrett Cole, I mean, Trevor Bauer, you're looking at it going, even a Clayton Kershaw. I mean, how much of this is directly related to your success? And if Major League Baseball takes it away, how much of a drop-off am I expecting in your performance? And if that is indeed the case, how much money are you giving me back?
I know. Why am I paying you?
Right. Why am I paying you these exorbitant amounts of money when, in fact, it might be directly correlated to a substance that's not going to be allowed in baseball anymore and might significantly reduce your ability to perform at the level that I made you that contract in the first place?
Yeah. I don't understand. I just don't understand that. As a businessman, I mean, I've never been a businessman at that level, but to me, common sense is common sense. And if your performance goes down, I don't think your compensation should go up or continue at the same rate. Now, contracts are contracts and they're in place for a reason, but a lot of times it's really a contract is there to protect the player in a lot of cases, because if they do perform at least most of that contract, I still think that person still deserves that money, right? But if it's a situation like Garrett Cole, when did he get his deal? Like, he just got his deal. So if the next 3, 4, 5 years, if there's a significant drop off, I don't want to pay you that money, dude. I don't.
At least I want to pay a portion. It's one thing to say a guy's arbitration eligible. So then in a year, at the end of the year, it can come up. And if you didn't get it back for this year, you can get it back. But because of the length of the contract that he signed, at the exorbitant amount of money he signed for, you're on the hook. So... And you know, like we talked about during the show, between the agent, the player, and all other parties involved, they're not going to offer it back to you, and they're going to fight it tooth and nail to make sure that you don't get it back.
Yeah.
So the owners are screwed and are going to pay the price. But if you're a pitcher, if you're in the last year of your deal, you're probably pissed off because you were hoping to get that deal done well before something like this came out, because now it's a whole new ballgame.
It is. That's a good point. We didn't even talk about that. What about someone who's trying to get a deal? That's a whole different discussion.
We covered a lot of it. We didn't get to that part of it, but we appreciate you guys getting all of it today with us. That concludes a Wednesday on the program. Hump Day's in the books. The Blitz is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow in studio. Then Friday, we're going to be at the Heights Hotel. For us in the Blitz. So that'll be a great opportunity for you guys to come out and see us on a remote. But until then, stay tuned. Fred, AJ, and Aaron are next. The Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.